wherever he is. He's Dick Vitale, and he joins us now live on the Midday Show. Dick, how are you today? Thanks for being
I'm
here.
I'm doing really great, man. Really a beautiful day here so far. It's not thunderstorm here, which we'll get probably about 2 hours from now. That's a daily routine here in the where we're living here in Florida, man. It usually happens right now in August. But really can't wait to get out there to Pontiac, Illinois for that museum and the basketball museum and plus raise money for cancer.
Yeah, you're going to be here up in Pontiac on September 7th. They're working to build the Basketball Museum of Illinois. How did you get involved with that effort?
Well, you know, we've been talking back and forth. We started initially in terms of with Facebook, Mark and I, and Mark Meyer does a great job. And basically our people put together a scenario where we'll come down and half of the proceeds are going to go for them and half for kids battling cancer, which means so much to me. I'm right now, I'm obsessed with that. I can't do enough. I will go to my last breath begging. We just lost one of our youngsters here who was at my gala last year, Tony Colton. I went to his celebration for his life, and it just broke my heart. And so I'm so pleased that people come on out, man. You'll be helping us battle cancer for kids. Plus, you'll be raising dollars to have a beautiful, beautiful museum there, a basketball showpiece.
You'll be talking at the Pontiac Elks Club on Thursday, September 7th. Tickets are $50. They also will raise money through this event for the V Foundation, which is what you're talking about. And if you're interested in tickets, you can contact the museum's Mark Meyer. I'm going to give you an email address. You can contact him at mmeyer, that's M-M-Y-R-E-1, the number one, at gmail.com. M-M-Y-R-E-1 at gmail.com for tickets. All right, let's talk a little. First, let's talk broadcasting, okay? You've been doing this for how long?
That's my 38th year I just completed. I just signed a long-term extension as well. So basically, I love it. You know, ESPN's been good to me. I've had a phenomenal time there. I really have. They just treated me like royalty, like my second family. And, man, if you would have told me on November 8th, 1979, when I was fired by the Detroit Pistons, you would have told me then, my friend, that I'd be in 13 Hall of Fames, I'd say you're crazy and wacky. I mean, I can't run, I can't jump, I can't shoot. I got a body by Linguini. And I guess I'm basically in it because all my life I've tried to live my life with a lot of passion, a lot of pride, and a lot of energy and enthusiasm.
Well, who saw something in you? I mean, you were coaching. You hadn't done any broadcasting before. You obviously have a very effervescent personality. Was that what attracted someone to you, put someone on to you?
That's a great question. Really, it is. What happened was we were playing in the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 against the number one team in the country, Michigan. And the day before the game, our game was going to be televised. And for us, it was a big deal, University of Detroit. I mean, we're not on TV. In those days, you didn't have TV like you have it now. And at our practice session was a guy named Scotty Connell. Came over to me and he said, "Hey, we've decided to televise your game. You guys have won 21 games in a row this year. You got a great team. You're basically a David. They're Goliath of Michigan, number one, 60 miles away. They don't want to play you." You know, it was an unbelievable scene. It must be like an Illinois, maybe in a DePaul. But it was just a big situation. So they got all excited. They're going to televise it on NBC. And doing a game was, I'm a baseball lover. I went to see the Red Sox and the Rays last night, but I'm a baseball lover, and I'm sitting there practice Kirk Gowdy, one of the greatest voices in the history of broadcasting.
The Cowboy.
Super Bowls, World Series, he's done them all. And sitting next to him was the Wizard of Westwood, John Wooden. And I'm saying, what the heck is this? And finally the guy said, "Look, we're going to televise your game on NBC. Regional, they're going to be doing the game, and they'd like to talk to you after practice." So when I came over, I called my players over. I said, "I'm going to give you and talk a little bit about what greatness is. These two people sitting here represent truly greatness. They embody it." Well, little did I know, we got beat in the last second, a heck of a basketball game, and we get beat, and you know, all of a sudden I get fired by the Pistons, and the phone rings, and the guy says, "You're not going to remember me, Dick." He said, "Well, my name is Scotty." He says, "And I was in charge for NBC at the time. We did your game. When I left the arena that night," he said, "John Wooden and Kirk Gowdy said, 'Man, I love that young guy's spirit, his enthusiasm. You should get him in TV, Scotty, here at NBC. Well, he said, "I just been named the head of a new network called ESPN. He said, I'd love you to do our very first game, DePaul and Wisconsin. DePaul was like number one in the country with Mark Aguirre. I said, no way, I'm not interested. I want to get back coaching in college. I know nothing about TV. I'm lucky for me. Lucky for me, Mark. He called me back like, maybe 2 weeks later, and he said, go do this game, man. And my wife practically threw me out of the house because I was so down. I was depressed. I was feeling sorry. I was watching soap operas, man. I was watching Luke and Laura with that General Hospital, man. It was unbelievable. That's how bad things were. But I went to do that game, and if you would have told me 38 years later I'm still doing games, I found something I love.
Well, you're also fortunate that nobody tried to make you into something. They let you be yourself, and that's been what has made you successful.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. ESPN has been very, very good to me about, you know, so I violate probably every rule of television. I mean, we have production meetings, and the guys go after the production meeting. Now, we just had a great meeting. I think we know when the light comes on, you're going to be in another world. I've always tried to look at the light. Look, the real broadcasters, I'm not kidding myself. I mean, I'm not a pro like you or most guys that I work with. They're play-by-play guys that are real pros. I'm there to tell you why a team's winning, why they're not winning, why they're losing, et cetera. And I think I do that fairly well, and I have a great time doing it. I think in a world of sports today, I don't know about you, I watch baseball a lot. I watch football and basketball. And I feel so many guys try to over-coach. They put you in Diseaseville, you're sleeping. Every pitch is analyzed. Every snap of the football is analyzed technically. And 99% of the people don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Hey, what's going on over there at ESPN? They've lost so many high-profile commentators and journalists. What's going on over there?
Well, you know, everything comes down to what? Dollars, dollars, dollars. And that's basically what happened. I feel bad because many of the beautiful people I work with have lost jobs, and you never like to see anyone lose a job. It breaks your heart. But ESPN is still going to flourish, and still I'm very proud to be part of the family of ESPN. And I just basically go out and do my games, go where they tell me to go, do my assignments. But I really, you know, I don't know all the economics involved. I don't know all the technical stuff that's involved in determining balance sheets, et cetera. That's for people that really have that kind of background, not me.
Have they gotten away from just the pure sports too much and gotten too much into policy and politics and agendas?
Happens really right now. You know, you're trying to keep up with the times. Social media has become so dominant out there today. It's unreal. In fact, I hope you guys follow me on Twitter/DickieV. One thing I've been doing every day, and it's really taken off for me, people seem to love it, the kind of messages I get from people. I do a motivational tip every morning. I put on my Twitter/DickieV. I also put it to other places, Facebook, The Real Dick Vitale, and I also put it on Instagram at DickieV_ESPN. And they really have really worked well for me. You know, I try to share insight as to, you know, about having passion, about having pride, to make good decisions in your life, about what it takes to be a winner, what is a winner, take different sayings and explain what they mean. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. All Americans, an ordinary person with extraordinary desire to excel, not to play the con game, to look in the mirror every day and know that you've given everything your best shot. It's really taken off for me, and I love that. I do a lot of motivational speaking across the country. I've been for the last three decades with the Washington Speakers Bureau, and I love getting in front of audiences, and I love being with people. I love people.
All right, let's talk a little bit about NCAA basketball. You know, we've got a team here in Bloomington Normal, Illinois State University. They won 27 games last year, thought they deserved to be in the NCAA tournament, were left out, lost the Missouri Valley Conference championship game to Wichita State. Wichita State was the only team from the conference that went to the tournament. What does a team like that have to do in a conference like the Valley to get into the tournament over some of these schools that don't have the number of wins they have, maybe haven't played the schedule that they have? What do they have to do? And has the NCAA tournament, do they need?
I get disturbed by that. I've been the biggest supporter of the little guys because I know I was there at Detroit. They say, well, you should play this one, play that one. First of all, they won't play it. If you beat them, my first year we beat Michigan. First year I get the job, we beat Michigan, and we're like top 10 in the country. We beat them. I couldn't get them on a schedule. The only way we got to play them was we went to the Sweet 16, and they couldn't dodge us in the tournament. And I think we cost them a national title because they beat us, but they spent so much emotion, they got upset like 36 hours later by a team, North Carolina, Charlotte, Cornell Maxwell. So again, I sympathize with the Illinois States of the world. My heart breaks with the, you know, according to the people involved, they say you got to play better people. But play on the schedule that easy and not going to get the Michigans on the schedule. And then if you do get them, they tell you, come on down, man, you're playing at our place. And it is so difficult. The bottom line is when you're down there and you're the little guy, you got to win. You got to win the rule, basically, and you got to win your conference. You got to win your tournament. And it's not right. I don't buy it. I think the tournament has more excitement when you have those little guys, you have some of those upsets early. The sad part is we reward mediocrity. You know, school to me, and I've said this on ESPN, and I've been critiqued about it, but that's my feelings. If you join an elite conference, okay, you join that conference, well, that's your choice. But if you finish, my feeling is you finish under 500 in a conference, you shouldn't be going no NCAA tournament. And if you're 14 and 12s, 16 and 8s, 16s and 10s or whatever, I'm throwing numbers here, versus somebody with 27 wins who's played their hearts out, I can't see that being logical and being right. But then again, there are a lot of things that aren't being done that are right in sports. I mean, we have the one and done now, right? The one and done. That's the biggest joke, the biggest unbelievable lunacy for the term student-athlete. I don't want to hear the NCAA tell me about student-athletes. Do you think it's one and done? He tells the coach ahead of time, I'm here for 1 year, man, and I'm out of here. Do you think that kid really cares about academics? I think it's a joke that we have that. I think that no way we should. We should allow kids. We should allow if a kid wants to go to the NBA out of high school, let him go. There's only a handful, but let him go. But once you step on a college campus, you should have to stay there for 3 years. That's the feeling I have. It works beautifully in baseball, and it would work in basketball if everybody would get together and share in it. But there are a lot of problems. But you know what? Saying all that, it's still a great game. I know I made a great living in it. It's a great way being around young people, and I love every moment.
You see, I'd like to see the NCAA tournament start with the first game of every conference tournament. Just open it up, make it available to everybody, and whittle it down from a field of entirety.
Well, you know, the argument is that almost everybody gets a chance to be in the tournament because they have a conference tournament. So I guess, you know, they could. I don't want to expand too much. I really don't. I think it takes away, you know, every year we're going to have somebody screaming and yelling. That's the beauty of it all, too. I don't think there's a year gone by where I haven't been screaming about some team being left out that should not have been left out. I mean, that's going to happen, in fairness to the committee, every year.
All right, I want to test your memory here. You were coaching at the University of Detroit, I believe, a game in the middle 70s. It was against Illinois Wesleyan. Denny Bridges was coaching Illinois Wesleyan, and a kid named Jack Sikma was playing for Illinois Wesleyan. Do you remember that game?
Absolutely remember it. They put the scare on us like you couldn't believe.
They almost beat you.
I didn't know who Jack Sikma was, man. I found out later who he was. We thought that was going to be a cupcake city. What a mistake we made, I tell you that. They almost beat us. We luckily pulled that game out.
Yeah, I think my friend Stu Salowitz, who's the sports information director at Wesleyan, sent me a note. He says Wesleyan was leading Detroit 62-61, and then with about 2 minutes left, Detroit was up only four before you finally won the game 81-73.
Did you know it's definitely, they took us right to the buzzer. You know, a couple of phantom calls against them, I guess, helped us a little bit. I don't know, but then we were scared. So, you know, a word of advice to any coach out there, you make sure you scout, evaluate before you bring in somebody you think's a cupcake, because I'm telling you, that team was well coached, they were legitimate, and we all know how great Sikma is.
Well, sure he was. Okay, a couple of quick questions, play a little rapid fire with you before we go. Your favorite play-by-play partner?
Oh, wow, I've had so many. I've worked with Hall of Fame. It's tough for me, man. I love working with Brett Musburger. He's been a riot to work with. And when I worked with him, I had a blast. But there's been so many. Hey, they're pros, man. They're pros. I'm an amateur compared to those guys.
All right. Who's the best coach in college basketball right now?
Mike Krzyzewski, there's any doubt about it. I think that there are a lot of great coaches, but for what he has achieved and what he's done, winning those national titles, and then you combine it with what he's done internationally, I don't think anybody could debate that. I may even go one step further. Say, if you ask me, who's the best coach in all of sports today, in all of sports? You can make the argument, certainly, about Belichick. You can argue about this guy, that guy. I would make my argument for Mike Krzyzewski.
All right, if you had the choice of being a basketball coach, I know you love baseball, or managing a baseball team, and you were good at it, which would you choose?
I'd like to be a baseball manager. Are you kidding me? I love baseball. I'd love to be in a dugout like my guy Joe Maddon. I love Joe Maddon. We miss him so much here. You guys in the Chicago area are so lucky to have him there. And the Cubbies are getting hot at the right time. I'm sorry to say, Milwaukee, the Brewers are in trouble.
Yeah, the Cubs are playing this afternoon, wrapping up a series with the Giants. Okay, last question, Dick, and again, thanks for being with us. Who was your favorite sports personality growing up? So that leaves it open to coaches, players, what have you.
Oh, wow, that's a great one, man. My favorite sports personality.
I mean, who did you want to be when you were growing up?
I wanted to be Bob Cousy, man, number 14 of the Celtics. I used to go to the playground, try to emulate him, and the reality set in. I couldn't handle the rock like he could, but he was unbelievable, Cous. He'd look one way, pass the ball the other way. He was magic with the ball before magic was born. I said that once at a banquet. Magic was on. Magic, you were only a gleam in your mother's eye when the Cous was going between the legs and around the back. Hey, a reminder to everybody out there, please come out. We're going to have a great time on that night. I can't wait to speak to that crowd, take pictures with that crowd, help whatever we can to help them raise dollars for that museum, the basketball museum, and also help us raise dollars for kids battling cancer. I beg you all, too, to go to my website, DickVitaleOnline.com, and you'll see a picture there of a bunch of young kids with me, and they were at my gala, and they're all cancer survivors. In fact, one of them is going to come to the event with me. He did 1,200 doses of chemotherapy, 4 bone marrow transplants. Today is cancer-free. I'm taking him with me on a private plane up to Pontiac, Illinois. He and his family are coming with me. He's a beautiful kid. He's right in front of that picture, the little guy holding a basketball. You'll see him standing in that picture. But if you click that picture, you can make a donation. It goes through the V Foundation to help kids battling cancer. You may end up saving the life of someone you love.
Dick Vitale will be at the Pontiac Elks Club September 7th, a Thursday. Dick, thanks for joining us. And by the way, it's Bob Cousy's birthday.
It is Cousy's birthday?
It is.
Wow, the Cous, man. He was something else. Thanks for reminding me of that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Hey, September 7th, people, come out and join me. It's going to be awesome, baby, with a capital A.
Thanks, Dick. We'll see you up
Take
in Pontiac.
Care, buddy.
Thanks for being on the show.